The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very, very good morning to you. How are you doing?
Welcome back, Howard. Nice to have you back again. And Chamonix apparently is the place that you were trying to pronounce. I thought you might have already visited there during your skiing holidays, Howard.
Yeah, I'm not such a skier, funnily enough.
No. Apparently you can go along and watch other people skiing. It's almost as much fun. The little piece of interesting news this morning comes from the Golden Globes Awards, where apparently Quentin Tarantino won a Golden Globe for the best screenplay motion picture for a film called Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And the little snippet, of course, is that Quentin Tarantino is now married to Israeli singer Daniela Pick. And during his acceptance speech, apparently he spoke a little in Hebrew, saying Todat Gveret to his wife, who was waiting in Tel Aviv for him, apparently pregnant with their first child. So, of course, Israel is taking some credit for the Quentin Tarantino Golden Globe win last night.
Amazing. Absolutely, absolutely incredible. But very difficult and very strange times in Israel, and some things that we just need to try and understand. The Israel has maintained a high state of alert following the assassination on Friday of Iranian Quds Force head Qasem Soleimani. What threat is Israel actually under as the result of this operation?
Well, I think the first thing we need to understand is who Qasem Soleimani really was. He was the head of the Quds Force, which is part of the Iranian Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps. And he has been the head of the Quds Force since 1998. So anything that the Quds Force has been doing over the last few decades has really been passing through his hands. The Quds Force is a division within the Iranian Revolutionary Guard that is primarily responsible for what they call extraterritorial military and clandestine operations. So he is kind of the guy who's responsible for activity outside of the boundaries, outside of the borders of Iran. And so therefore, he obviously has the responsibility for running all of these Iranian renegade groups that are operating all around the world, including Hamas and Palestinian Islamic Jihad in Gaza, and including the links with Hezbollah in Lebanon, and including the links with other groups within Syria, and indeed links with anything that could have happened outside of Iran. So it includes activities that have been happening in Iraq, and it was quite ironic that his end came on Iraqi soil. Obviously, the ambush gang that eventually got him with these drones on the outskirts of Baghdad airport, waiting for him, knowing that he was coming there, knowing that he was expected to arrive, and obviously very, very well briefed from an intelligence point of view to make sure that they got him just at the right moment, along apparently with some 10 other people who were killed. And of course the US military has taken responsibility for this targeted killing, as they like to call it these days, assassination. I don't know what you want to call it. Along not only with Qasem Soleimani was involved, but indeed other Iraqi militia commanders and other people. So it really hit a lot of nerves as this operation was carried out. And it's been interesting to see what the response has been from around the world to this hit, because as a general rule, hits like this are somewhat frowned upon. I mean, this is a man who has a very, very senior military, or had a very senior military position in the military of a sovereign nation, whichever way you like to look at it. And even though the Americans claim that he has the blood of a few hundred American soldiers and others on his hands, this man, Qasem Soleimani, certainly has been responsible for carrying out actions that have killed more than just a few dozen people around the world. And so, certainly within Israel, there have been no tears shed as a result of the news that was heard on Friday morning when he was killed. But the point, of course, is that he had these close links to all of these forces that surround Israel within Gaza, within Lebanon, within Syria. And so there was an expectation that they may well respond to the death of Soleimani by trying to attack Israel, by firing rockets, missiles into Israel. And so Israel went on to a very, very heightened state of alert following the news on Friday. Fortunately, up until now, things have been pretty quiet. But my expectation is that the Iranians, in order to try to maintain some sort of face within the international community, are probably likely to try to carry out something a little bit, more extreme than what they've tried up until now, which is that there've been those, that explosion, the rocket that was fired within Baghdad. And there was some attack on a Syrian gas field. But I think that the Iranians probably would want it to carry out a hit that or an attack that's more directly focused towards the U.S., towards damaging the U.S., and in particular towards damaging U.S. President Donald Trump, who's personally taken responsibility via Twitter and via public statements for this operation that killed Soleimani on Friday.
Well, what's interesting is that, and I don't know what is or isn't true, and there's so much information coming out, is we do know that the UK, for example, was not warned of this attack, and we know that many members of Congress were in the US weren't warned. But I have read somewhere, and I don't know how true it is or not, that Israel did have prior knowledge. Does that mean that either A, they were involved in the planning and the information, or B, if it was because they would Israel is at risk and immediately at risk following this assassination, or possibly both?
I guess we'll never really know. And I think the good news for Israel, the best news for Israel, is that the US have stood up and said, we are responsible. And for Israel, that's the best possible thing, because if it was not for that, then clearly a lot of attention would have been directed towards Israel, a lot of suspicion towards Israel, and perhaps accusations that Israel may have been involved. But because President Trump has been so upfront in saying U.S. forces carried out this attack, I am responsible, I gave the instruction, it was our idea, Israel has kind of been put into the background, and that's exactly the way that Israel would wish it to be. Of course, I wouldn't be a bit surprised if Israel had some involvement and knowledge about it well before the time. We'll never really know about, whether that's the case or not, whether Israeli intelligence might have been involved, whether Israelis might well have been involved even in the hit that was carried out. Who knows? A lot of speculation about that. But as I say, the good news is that Israel doesn't have to take responsibility, nor is Israel even being accused at the moment. So I think that that's exactly the way that, the Israeli government and the IDF, the Mossad would want the situation to be. The man has been taken out. He clearly was a problem. He clearly was a thorn in the side. He really carried out many, many operations over the years that had his stamp of approval on them. I don't think that anybody is upset about the fact that he's out of the way. The real question, I suppose, is who will replace him? And we already know his replacement has been appointed. But the question is, what does that mean now going forward? What does anything change from the situation that was before? And of course, we've already had, the threats towards Israel will turn Tel Aviv and Haifa to dust, apparently,
right.
Is the latest statement that was made. And so obviously, Israel did go into a state of high alert. The skiing field in the Hermon was closed completely just when the really good skiing weather turned up. We had a real cold snap with some snow and some good weather. And of course, unfortunately, that all had to be canned when the ski field was closed and high alert was marked both in the north and the south of Israel, just in order to counter any possible attack. But fortunately, as I said earlier, things have been relatively quiet, and let's hope that it'll continue to be like that.
Absolutely. We are going to be chatting to Meir Spersky from the Clarion Project just after the 8 o'clock news this morning. And we're going to continue this conversation to try and understand exactly what the repercussions are globally following the assassination or the targeting of Soleimani. The storms hit Israel in a very, very big way, and I can't get over, in fact, that terrible, terrible story that happened, or that unfortunately killed a young couple in Tel Aviv on Saturday, on Shabbat, when they went down in the lift into their parking garage, opened the door, and it was completely flooded, and they were drowned. It is horrific. Anthony, what caused such chaos in Israel's, one of Israel's main cities?
Well, unfortunately, the infrastructure in parts of Tel Aviv is just not up to standard. Simple as that. And, you know, there is a notion that says, you know, Tel Aviv is divided into two halves. The northern half, which is considered to be more affluent, is also considered to have much better infrastructure, flood water drains and things like that, to carry the flood waters away. Whereas the southern part of Tel Aviv, which is also the older part of Tel Aviv, and also the less affluent part of Tel Aviv, is considered to be somewhat neglected from the point of view of infrastructure, particularly stormwater drainage and things like that. And unfortunately, this is exactly what's happened. A lot of the southern area part of Tel Aviv has been gentrified, has been upgraded. A lot of that is now, a lot of the old buildings have been knocked down and newer ones are constructed, or at least the older ones have been renovated to try to improve the general area, to improve the overall vicinity of, to try to upgrade the area. But unfortunately, the infrastructure has not gone along with it, as a result of which many people in southern Tel Aviv feel that they are really neglected by the municipality where it comes to infrastructure services. And unfortunately, we saw it in this huge tragedy where this young couple drowned in the lift because they were unable to escape from the flood that came down the lift. Apparently, they were unable to open the lift, as far as I understand, because the electricity had fused. There'd been an electricity break due to this flood waters. They were unable to activate pumps that could potentially have pumped the water out of that underground basement parking area. And the young couples literally just died before the eyes of all of the residents of the building, who were desperately trying to help them, to phone the emergency services, who were particularly unresponsive. And so a lot of fingers are being pointed at the moment, not only at the municipality of Tel Aviv for poor infrastructure and for poor planning and not enough stormwater facilities in the case that heavy rains come, but also towards the fire brigade and the other emergency services who were unresponsive and were not able to get there in time to save this couple. So a very, very substantial tragedy, very, very serious tragedy that took place, unnecessary because it could have been avoided. And so, of course, people are now reassessing the situation in light of that tragedy. Mm. More rain is expected during the course of the next week. The last few days we've had particularly heavy rain, and we do need the rain. And so, you know, somehow the municipalities need to find a way to cope with the heavy downpours that we have from time to time. You know, we've seen a lot of light-hearted video footage of people paddling on their surfboards down the streets of Tel Aviv.
Lovely.
You know, so that's all, you know, funny and very amusing. But unfortunately, floods kill people and they are very dangerous. And, you know, we need to somehow get the infrastructure geared up towards coping with situations like this, even though, you know, maybe it won't be used all that frequently because the number of days in the year that Israel gets such heavy rains is very limited indeed. But even so, we can't afford to have loss of life as a result of floods,
and of course,
very unfortunate
of course, one would have thought that the emergency services in Israel, being so used to responding to terror and to other situations, would have been available. So very disappointing and very, very upsetting indeed. Anthony Raff, that's where we leave it. Thank you, as always. Awesome to speak to you again, and we'll catch you tomorrow morning, same time, same place. It is 8 o'clock. Here's your news with Zanati.